Mackenzie Burns, the defender. So Burns with the turnover, Burns with the transition, and Burns with the assist. The goal scored by none other than Kylie O'Miller. The Seawolves take a 13-3 lead, and we have that running clock we were talking about. 10-goal lead for the Seawolves with less than 3 minutes to play. And I'll tell you, this running clock is going to make the penalty expire more quickly than it would have otherwise. So it might be working in Stony Brook's favor a bit. Subbing in now for Stony Brook is going to be number 14, Vincenza Patron, going in on defense. Her first action today, as Tiffany Zulo gets a breather. So for Kylie, that's 3 goals for her. Her sister Taryn also has 3, as does Courtney Murphy. Stony Brook and all with 13 goals in this game. And here's McCarthy on the draw. McCarthy taps it up, forward, and here's Kennedy. Kennedy with a head of steam. Now backs it and slows down. DeSalvo to McCarthy. Back to DeSalvo. In the middle of the field, Sam DeSalvo waits. She throws it to McCarthy. Just under 2 minutes to play in the first half. Stony Brook will look to tack on one more, take an 11-goal lead at the break. Emma Shea getting in on the action. Kennedy to Murphy. Now Scheidt. DeSalvo. Behind the cage is Taryn O'Miller. Taryn makes a dodge, throws in front. That one goes high. It's recovered by Murphy. Great catch by Murphy. Otherwise, that would have been a turnover. Kennedy on the far side. Throws it to Murphy, and Courtney Murphy scores. Murphy now 3 goals away from the record. You know, I don't know how long Elise she's going to get in the second half before the game goes all out of hand and Stony Brook subs out the starters. But as it is, she has 4 goals today. And Stony Brook has a 14-3 lead. With under a minute to play, that clock is running, as I said. So we'll see if they can get a draw up and one in time to tack on another goal before halftime. The scoreboard here at Laval reads 13-3, but make no mistake, it's 14-3. Not that you can see the scoreboard if you're listening on the radio, but Stony Brook with another dominant performance today against Cornell. It really doesn't matter what opponent you throw at this Stony Brook team. They seem to dominate. So Cornell, you figured it would be a tougher match than some of the America East competition. Tougher match than UMass Lowell. Tougher match than Vermont. And it hasn't really been the case. The draw is taken, but there's only 10 seconds left. It's one forward to Kenny, and they might have time. Kenny runs forward. 5 seconds to shoot. Kenny all the way in front. There's Murphy! Oh, she goes behind the back, but it is blocked. And 14-3 will have to do, as Stony Brook goes to halftime with an 11-goal lead. Courtney Murphy almost got her 5th of the day just before time expired, trying to go back to behind the back like Kylie so often does. Stony Brook 14, Cornell 3, as I look to the stats. 4 goals by Courtney Murphy, as I mentioned. 3 goals, 1 assist by Kylie O'Miller. 3 goals, 1 assist by Taryn O'Miller. And 3 goals, 1 assist by Allie Kennedy. Flip that and you have 1 goal, 3 assists. That's what Sam DeSalvo has today. 1 assist by Siobhan Rafferty. And 1 assist by Mackenzie Burns, the defender that was able to get on the action and set up Kylie O'Miller just a couple minutes ago. Look to the team stats. Sternberg leads in shots 21-4. This is really one of the best defensive efforts we've seen by the Seawolves all season, as Cornell has generated just 4 shots and has 9 turnovers. In turnovers, Stony Brook has 5, Cornell has 9, just like I said. And on the draw, Karen McCarthy is putting forth another spectacular effort. It's 12-6 on draw controls for the Seawolves. And ground balls, 11-3 ground balls. Stony Brook has the advantage. So in every single department of the game, Stony Brook is dominating Cornell right now. Cornell entered the year as the 3 seed in the Ivy League preseason poll, so a formidable opponent, an NCAA tournament team last year. And Stony Brook's just making quick work of them with an 11-goal lead. We'll go to halftime for about 10 minutes into the studio. no matter how you heat your home. As I get a glass of water, and I'll be back for LaVal Stadium action in the second half. So, Jim Furschlin in the WUSB studio.
Thank you, Skylar Gilbert, and Stony Brook just really bringing it all in. And believe it or not, they have scored 14 goals in the first half, but that wasn't the most. So far this season, they put up 16 in their previous matchup against UMass Lowell and won that game 20-7. And then recently, their previous matchup on Friday against Vermont, they won that game single-handedly 20-2, and they put up 15 points in that first half. But now they have 13 already in the first half, and there's no sign of slowing them down. But more than likely, the bench work or people off the sidelines will be getting a lot more playing time. Spallina likes to do that when they have an early advantage in the first half. But as Skylar said, just total domination and decimation from the Seawolves today. Knowing the record, Cornell 6-3, they might play decently, but Stony Brook has just been overpowering in every single category. Goals, 14-3, obviously. The shots on goal, 21 out of their 14. So Stony Brook is also 66.6 shots are going into the back of the net. That is outstanding compared to, however, you look at Cornell, three shots in the net on four shots on goal. So 75% of their shots have been good ground balls. Stony Brook is really outscoring the Big Red in that category, 11-3. And in looking at the clears, 10 out of 10 for Stony Brook and 5 out of 5 for Cornell. The draw control, Stony Brook up on half of that of Cornell, 12-6. And turnovers, really Stony Brook has winning that category, forcing them to put up 9 turnovers and causing 5 for the Seagulls. And the player that I really like to talk about is really someone who I was really counting back on last season. And you know what? She's really having a dominating sophomore year, and that is Allie Kennedy. She has lightning quick speed in the open field, and she knows her corners of the net and which way it will be exposed. And she has 3 goals already today, and she has been dominant as well. As I look at the individual stats so far, it really has been, how we all know, she has 3 goals, Murphy has 4 goals, and Taryn O'Miller has 3 goals, and also, yeah, Kennedy, yeah, she has 3 goals. Just been dominant today against the Cornell Big Red. So if you want to look into the schedule for today when it comes to the American East Women's Lacrosse, Stony Brook is the only game that is playing today. And if we look into games that were played previously, which was on Saturday, March 31st, New Hampshire shut out Hartford 17-0. Wow. On the road for us, Hartford hosted New Hampshire and got blown out completely. Then Binghamton and Albany, one of the best teams in the country. That's also in men's too. They beat Binghamton 12-10. And on Friday, two more games were played. UMBC and UMass Lowell. UMBC held on 9-7. And Vermont and Stony Brook, obviously. Stony Brook won that one heavily, 20-2. And looking at what else is going on professionally right now, the Mets and the Yankees. The Mets play tonight at 7:15 against the Philadelphia Phillies. That should be a good matchup. Matt Harvey taking the mound for the first time this season against Pivette on the Phillies. I think it's Michael Pivette. And watch out for that. Might be a battle of the hitters tonight between Carlos Santana, Cesar Hernandez, and even we got to throw in Skyward Gilbert's favorite player in East Hoskins, who he possibly think will win the NL MVP. Which is possible. I'm not saying it won't happen, but he's off to a good start. But however, there's still over 155 games left to play, and how consistent can they be? So, those are the MLB. Looking into what is on tap for the MLB tonight. We already ran through the NBA. Let's go through the MLB. So, it was 4-0. Seattle is now 4-1. The Mariners beat the Giants in the bottom of the fourth with no outs. Later on, the game's at 6:10. The Red Sox play against the Miami Marlins. Marlins have been fighting tough. They had a not too bad of a series, as everyone anticipated, against the Chicago Cubs. At 6:40, the Cubs will go into Cincinnati, and they'll play the Reds. The Reds looking for their second victory. 7:07 p.m., the White Sox will play in Toronto. Also at 7:10, Philadelphia Phillies playing in Citi Field against the New York Mets. At 7:35, the Washington Nationals, who are undefeated, by the way, Skyler will probably know that too, they will play in Atlanta against the 2-2 Braves. At 7:40, St. Louis Cardinals will play against the Milwaukee Brewers. At 8:10, this might be a one-sided affair. The Baltimore Orioles going against the red-hot Houston Astros, who did lose one game against Texas in that 5-1 loss a couple of days ago. Then you have Clayton Kershaw taking the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. However, the Dodgers do have a losing record at 2-3. But let's see if Kershaw can make a difference with that. And the final game tonight, there's three games on at 10 o'clock tonight. And that's the Indians at the Angels. With that, then you have at 10:05, the Rangers at the Athletics. If you want to still call them the Athletics, I call them the A's. But Texas got only one win this season, and that was against defending champion Houston Astros. And then the final game tonight, the Rockies at the Padres. The Padres, with the acquisition of Eric Hosmer, still really haven't done much. They're still searching for their first win of the year. They are 0-4. They really could have been possible when they did take on Milwaukee and could have won with two strikes and two outs in their second game of the season. But however, Ryan Braun hit a three-run bomb that night, and just the tide completely turned it. The Padres lost that game 8-6. And any news that was going on, some MMA news, I should say, Carlo Alvarez did withdraw his match today against Jimenko. That was scheduled for May 5th, but he has withdrawn from that match. So that match will no longer go on today. Or no longer go on in May, excuse me. And big news in the NFL. And I mean, this is some spectacular news between two powerhouse teams. Well, one that's soon to become a powerhouse. How about this? Y'all guys remember Brandon Cooks took that really awful hit from Malcolm Jenkins in the Super Bowl? And on Wikipedia, some claim that was his date of death since he did not return that game. Well, he's got a new home in Los Angeles, and I'm not talking about the Chargers. I'm talking about the LA Rams have acquired Brandon Cooks for a first-round pick in this year's draft. Are you kidding me? So, Giants fans can hold their breath now. Odell Beckham is not going to LA. Possibly not, the talks are off yet. I could possibly still see him going to a team, but you know what? I'm not no safe for that, but he is still a Giant, and now Brandon Cooks is now playing with the Los Angeles Rams. Wow. And as we said, Canelo, withdraws from his May 5th bout with Triple G. And looking at what else is ahead. Oh, Yankees acquired Trace Thompson, the brother of NBA star Klay Thompson, today. And just a little bit of news, he was acquired from the Los Angeles Dodgers. His addition comes at a time when New York has lost several outfielders at the start of the season due to injury, as we did see Andrew McKinney, who crashed his head into the wall earlier this weekend against the Blue Jays, and he more than likely will be called up for that reason. And Trace Thompson was assignment last Tuesday. He was drafted out of high school by the Chicago White Sox in 2009, and he's only played 151 major league games, a lifetime .233 lifetime hitter in 27 games for the Dodgers last year. His best season was back in 2016 when he hit .225, 13 home runs, and 32 RBIs in 80 games. So he's got some consistency, he's got some power, he's got some due diligence there to play in the big city, way far away from his brother, Clay Thompson, who is possibly doing big things for his team this year. But they have a big game tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder, where Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook duel it out for the third time this season. And that's going to be a good game, I assume, man. Any other news going on? NHL? Yeah, we're doing some NHL previews tonight. The Flyers play the Islanders at 7 o'clock. We have 3 7 o'clock games, one of those being the Flyers-Islanders. Then the Rangers and the Devils across the tri-state rivalry there. That's also at 7 o'clock. The Red Wings and the Blue Jackets also at 7 o'clock. 7:30, 3 of those games also. The Bruins playing the Lightning. That might be an interesting affair. The Bruins 49-17-12 against the outstanding Lightning season that they've been having at 52-23-4. Also, the Jets going into Montreal to play the Canadiens, and the Predators going to play the Panthers at 7:30 as well. And to finalize your hockey night, the Coyotes will play the Flames, the Las Vegas Golden Knights will play the Canucks, and the Dallas Stars will play the San Jose Sharks at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 10:30. So those are your hockey games for tonight. And just really what's going on right now, or what's going on later tonight for you sports fans. And we still want to find out what's going to go on in the draft. If I wanted to say anyone's going to go first pick in the draft this year, more than likely, I think it would be Josh Allen. But you know what? I'm actually over time right now, so I'm going to send it back to you, Skyler Gilbert, with the second half between the Stony Brook Seawolves and the Cornell Big Red. Stony Brook leads 14-3. Also, watch out. History alert. Courtney Murphy may be breaking a record today. Skyler, back to you.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Welcome back to Laval Stadium, where Terry McCarthy just scored a goal. Stony Brook takes a 15-3 lead. Cornell won the first draw after halftime, starting with another defensive stop. And then in transition, Kerry McCarthy gets the goal for the Seawolves. So Starnberg takes a 15-3 lead. It's Starnberg 15, Cornell 3. 28 minutes to play in the first half. If you're just tuning in, it's been a dominant performance for the Seawolves. 4 goals for Courtney Murphy, 3 goals for each of the Miller sisters, and also 3 goals for Allie Kennedy. Now McCarthy gets in the action, and now she goes back to the draw where she makes her name. Karen McCarthy on the draw, Seawolves for the 12-goal lead. And, you know, Joe Spallina said in the post game after the last game that this was going to be a tough opponent. And Cornell's no one to no slouch, and he even said that they could lose this game potentially. But Stony Brook's been dominant as ever as Allie Kennedy takes the ball up the left seam and she scores again. So Stony Brook now up 16-3, just pouring it on now. I was kind of wondering. Courtney Murphy coming into this half was 3 goals away from tying the NCAA record. Their next two games are on the road. So there's some question in my mind of whether the Seawolves would keep her out on the field to break that record here in front of the home fans. We'll see if that's the case. But Starnberg now with a 16-3 lead. And this historically is about the score where Spallina takes his foot off the gas a little bit and gets the subs in. Allie Kennedy with her 4th goal of the game, her 2nd straight home game here with 4 goals as the Seawolves lead 16-3, less than 4 minutes into the second half. Again, the second half should move pretty quickly as the clock is running now, even between goals and between stoppages because the lead is over 10. The draw is won by Kennedy. And Kennedy with it on the left. Kennedy passes it to Taryn Miller. Taryn on the near side. She throws it to Kennedy. And now Murphy. Murphy to Scheit. To McCarthy and back to Scheit. On the near side is Murphy. To the far near side is Kennedy. Kennedy take the screen from Murphy. Kennedy going all the way to the cage herself, and she scores again. Allie Kennedy having the game of her life. 5 goals and 1 assist today for the midfielder. And they really can't stop her. I mean, she's running a little bit of a two-player play, a two-man action with Courtney Murphy, where Murphy comes up onto Kennedy's man, sets a screen, and then Kennedy and Murphy both roll to the front of the net together, kind of like a basketball pick and roll. And, I mean, if you're a defender, what are you going to do? Are you gonna leave Murphy wide open? Probably not. So Kennedy's had some action all day today, and she made them pay again with her 5th goal of the game. That one goes unassisted, and it's 17-3 Seawolves. 17-3 against a team that received votes in the latest coaching poll. This isn't UMass Lowell they're beating 17-3. This is Cornell. This is a team that made the NCAA tournament last year. Just a dominant display by the women's lacrosse team. And this is why they're number one in the country. One of only 2 undefeated teams in the country, also Boston College. As Cornell wins the draw. There's Coffey to Lasky and back behind the cage. Fahrenholt with it at the point. Now on the right. Now Allen. Carolyn Allen makes a spin move. Tonelli stays with her. Behind the cage, looking for a pass in front. Nothing there. Brooke Gubatosi does such a good job for the Seawolves closing down those passing lanes. Cornell staying on the outside. 45 to shoot. Behind the cage are the Big Red. A pass in front goes away, and Sternberg grabs the turnover. That's Janelli. Janelli in transition on the left side. Or Emma Scheit, actually. 9 and 4 can look alike. And here's Rafferty. Rafferty to Ohlmiller. Rafferty thought about shooting, but the Seawolves are just going to set up their offense. Kennedy with it. Now Siobhan Rafferty. Emma Scheit. Taryn Ohlmiller. Kennedy with it again. Now Taryn. To Kylie Ohlmiller. Kylie going to the cage, and she scores. Kylie Miller gets the Seawolves on the board again. They now lead 18-3. Kylie beat her defender, has that left-handed shot, was able to finish in traffic her 4th goal of the game. The 3rd Seawolves player with at least 4 goals in this one. And Cornell as a team doesn't even have 4 goals. So Sternberg with a 15-goal lead. About 7.5 minutes into the second half. Going to make some substitutions now. Sabella comes in. Kennedy comes to the bench. She's giving high fives to Spallina and the coaching staff. Looks like she's done. And Sam DeSavo also summoned out for the Seawolves. So Sternberg trying to get some other players into the game. Sabella and Rafferty are the midfielders with McCarthy on the draw. Rafferty and Sabella, 2 freshmen on this team. First time in Joe Spallina's tenure that he hasn't had a freshman in the starting lineup. Just kind of, it's not that they're not talented. It just speaks to the depth that Sternberg has with their upperclassmen this year. The whole starting lineup is upperclassmen, except Kennedy, who's a sophomore. And Taryn Miller, also a sophomore. McCarthy throws the draw high to herself, and it looks like she has no call there. 3 players score to the ground, but there was no call. I thought Cornell was going to be called for a foul, but instead they win the draw control. Going into the offensive zone, is Fahrenholt for the Big Red. Stony Brook's defense playing tough again. Cornell staying on the perimeter. Cinelli on the defense. Now Carrera on the defense. A stop is made on the shot from Carolyn Allen from the left side. I think Tesserero got that with her stick, and then it bounced left out of play, but Cornell retains possession. They were the closest to it when it went out of bounds. Coffee to Leska. Now, here's Allen working on the left. She's being guarded by Sabella, just subbed in for the Seals. Vanna Sabella, the freshman from Mount Sinai. As Cornell tries to force one in front again, and it's the same result it's been all day. Whenever they try to throw that pass in front, Seals force a turnover. I couldn't tell if it was Gubitosi forcing that one or Tesserero stepping out and intercepting the pass. But nevertheless, another turnover for Cornell, and Seabolts with the successful clear. Callie O'Miller with it. She's on the far side. Throws to Rafferty. McCarthy. And now Murphy. Taryn O'Miller on the left side of the goal line. Now Murphy at center point. To the right is Scheidt. Or Sabella, rather. Now Kylie. Back to Rafferty. Murphy with it. Looks like Gubitosi's coming into the offense again. Thought maybe after the last game it would be a one-time thing, but McCarthy subs out and Gubitosi into the offensive zone. The America East Defensive Player of the Year last year. And here's Taryn O'Miller on the left. Sabella fakes a shot. They're going to call a shooting space violation on Cornell, and it'll be a free position try for Sabella. Sabella on the left hash. 19 minutes to play in the second half. They're going to stop the clock here. Or I guess they're not. I think they signaled an X, and I think the people in the press box didn't stop the clock. But anyway, Sabella with it on the left hash. And she shoots, and that one, I don't know if she was checked from behind, but the shot was way off, and Cornell takes possession. The clear attempt on the far side. As Murphy's defending tight, she gets a check in, but it goes back to Cornell. Murphy's still playing the defense. As Cornell's finally able to clear. Long pass on the right. That's Zakara. Zakara throws it behind the cage. Now on the left, there's Allen. They're going to call a violation on Stony Brook that time. So it'll be a free position try for Carolyn Allen here. Cornell scored on free position earlier in this game. Carolyn Allen she's the leading point getter for Cornell this season, has 28 points, 21 goals, but no goals right there as the stop is made. Is that Tesserero has subbed out of the game. So the goalie for the Seawolves now is Jessica Gorowski, the freshman from Shoreham Wading River. So Gorowski with the stop. And the Seawolves with the ball. A lot of the starters are still in the game for the Seawolves. Burns with it there, dumps it off to Murphy. Murphy to Sabella. The far side is Rafferty to Kylie O'Miller. Back to Rafferty. Now Sabella, Tiffany Zulo. Murphy. And now Bridget Considine has just subbed in the game, first time today. She played quite a bit in the second half against Vermont over the weekend. Behind the cage is Taryn O'Miller. Makes a spin. Goes to the front. Taryn O'Miller looking for a place to shoot. She throws it in front, and the pass gets away, but it's going to be recovered by the Seawolves. Only 17 seconds to shoot. Not a lot of time. And clock has stopped. Stony Brook only has 8 seconds to shoot. Oh, one of the problems with this running clock rule is the shot clock doesn't stop either. And it's going to be a shot clock violation. As Stony Brook throws it to the near side corner. And Cornell, with a 15-goal deficit, will take offense. I think that's a pretty significant rule in the running clock, that the shot clock doesn't stop either. It really worked to Stony Brook's disadvantage there, because Cornell committed a foul with about 40 seconds to play and basically was able to run out the clock because of it. Cornell with the ball now on their clear attempt. Ellie Walsh in the game for Cornell. Cornell is making some substitutions too. Tomasina Leska. As Taryn O. Miller subs out of the game for Stony Brook to an ovation. 4 goals today for Taryn. But Cornell is on offense. Siebel's looking for another stop today. They've held Cornell to just 3 goals in this game after holding Vermont to just 2 goals in the previous game. A spectacular defensive effort against a top 25 team in the country. Leska with it behind the cage. Now at the point is Coffey. Coffey with it on the left side. She throws it down low to Allen. Allen looking for a shot. Nothing doing. Only 5 to shoot for Cornell. And did that ball sneak across goal line? It did not. Gorowski with the save, and Siebel's in transition now. Running down the middle of the field. That is Mackenzie Burns going all the way in the offense. Considine with it. Considine is fouled. So Taryn O'Miller has subbed out. Courtney Murphy stays in the game. Kylie O'Miller stays in the game. Considine in there with the ball. Now Emma Scheidt. Here's Murph. To Kylie. Back to Murph. Courtney Murphy, she shoots it high. I think they're trying to set her up. We may have some history in the brewing if she can get 3. It'll be a free position try for Courtney Murphy from the center. Just 3 goals away from the NCAA record. And a foul is called, and I think it'll be a redo. As she runs into the cage, but she's fouled from behind, she'll get another free position try. Courtney Murphy with 4 goals today, sitting at 286 career goals. Gail Cummings, the graduate of Temple University, had 289. And Courtney Murphy, on the free position try, is able to score the 19th goal of the game for the Seawolves. So Murphy gets her 5th goal of the game. And I'll tell you, if they weren't looking to get her this record, she would have subbed out by now. In the previous games I've covered, Kylie has been the only starter that has been in the game at this stage. So 12 minutes to play. We'll see if Joe Spallina tries to get her the NCAA record on the home field. You'd prefer to get records like that on home and not away at Hartford like she would on Thursday otherwise. But Long Island General Office of New York Life is a proud sponsor. I think Joe Spallina called timeout. To learn more about joining their winning, we'll stay right here because I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. Gail Cummings, Temple University graduate. She's now the athletic director at Skidmore College, D3 school in upstate New York, in Saratoga. In her Temple career, which, like Murphy, it spanned 5 years because she had a redshirt herself. So from 1984 to 1988, She was on the 1984 national championship team from Temple and the 1988 national championship team for Temple. She had a national championship in her redshirt senior year. A lot of parallels between Cummings during that 30 years ago and what Courtney Murphy is trying to do now. It's one of the longest lived records in all of NCAA women's lacrosse. Courtney Murphy just two goals away from tying it. And trying to see. Okay, so Courtney Murphy is going to be done for today. As Kylie and Murphy sub out. So we will not see any record breaking today. But on Thursday, when they go on the road against Hartford, there's a very, very strong chance of it. So Ole Miller out of the game, Courtney Murphy out of the game. Siebel's with a 19-3 lead. I guess it's appropriate to take your starters out of the game with a 19-3 lead. Still a spectacular effort from Murphy today. She subs out with 5 goals. Kylie O'Miller subs out with 4 goals and 1 assist. As we get to see the Siebel's freshman and the Siebel's second team and what they have to offer. Cornell with possession after winning the draw. I think the only starter still in the game is Brooke Gubitozzi. In the center of the Siebel's defensive zone. And again, I think the thinking behind that, you keep Gubitozzi in, and she's a redshirt senior herself. She's kind of the coach on the field for this defense, coordinates everything. So if you want to get these young players experience, you get them experience with Gubitozzi out there, telling them what to do, where to go. It's like having a coach out there to help them get some game reps. Cornell still unable to break this stifling Stony Brook defense. Less than 20 seconds to shoot. Now Taylor Elise with it for Cornell as they've put their second team into the game as well. The shot comes from Taylor Reed. It goes wide. And Cornell is not able to get a shot off. But now they'll stop the shot clock. And they'll sort out what's going on the field. It looks like it'll be a free position try with 1 second on the clock, or is there a reset of any kind? I'm not quite sure what the rule procedures are, but as is, there's 1 second on the shot clock, and Cornell's going to have a free position try. So they'll have to take an immediate shot here. Oh, it's like they call for a full stoppage, so I think they're going to get the clock right. I think they'll reset it to either 90 seconds or some whatever the rule dictates for this kind of situation. Now the clock is at 2 seconds. If you're just joining us, it's been a bloodbath here at Laval Stadium where Stony Brook has played against Cornell. Cornell came into this game number 23 in the coaches poll. Stony Brook number 1 in all 3 national polls. And they've shown why they're number 1 in the country. It's Stony Brook 19, Cornell 3. Murphy had 5 goals today. And she has subbed out, but she is only 2 goals away from tying the all-time NCAA career goals record. Cornell shoots the free position try. It goes off the outside of the netting of the cage. And Stormbrook gets the ground ball and clears the zone. For Stony Brook, here's Erica Shea. Sabella with it. The pass goes high. It is recovered by Rebecca Kinsley. Kinsley playing in Kylie Miller's spot. Casey Mitchell to it with Rafferty, Sabella, now Kinsley. Kinsley is stick checked again. And she recovers again, or does she? They fight for her on the baseline. And a foul is going to be called on Cornell. So Rebecca Kinsley takes the ball out. And with it now is Mitchell. To the near side, there's Considine. Bridget Considine up to Erica Scheidt, or Emma Scheidt. The ball works around. Now on the near side, left side of the offense. Here's Siobhan Rafferty. Now on the far side is Considine. Considine to Kinsley. Kinsley makes a fake on the defender. Kinsley back to Considine. Over to Scheidt. Only 2 seconds to shoot, and they don't get a shot off. I don't know if that's the game plan to not put any more goals on the board, but Stony Brook was not really looking to score on that possession, as they have a 19-3 lead under 10 minutes to play. It's really kind of interesting, the effort that Joe Spallina and Stony Brook has to go through almost every game to not embarrass their opponent by so much. It kind of reminds me of UConn women's basketball, where halfway through the second half, I mean, you're up 15, 16 goals, and sure, you can keep scoring, but you just slow down out of sportsmanship. On that possession, even with the subs in, Stony Brook not looking to score any goals as they take the shot clock violation. Now, Cornell coming in. A nice save made there by Gorowski. That one was made on Joey Coffey, the Cornell midfielder. She has one of the 3 Cornell goals today. Allen on the far side to Coffey at the center point. Shot clock reset off the goalie's save. Now on the near side is Fahrenholt. And Stony Brook forces a turnover. And then Cornell fights for it back and they get it back. So a good play was made by Stony Brook, number 13, or number 14, Vincenza Patron. But Cornell gets it back. From the high point, they fire a shot, and it goes high and wide. Cornell with 40 seconds to shoot. And then Stony Brook will be called for a foul here. Looks like that will be on Sydney Gagnon, getting her first action today. That might be Emma Scheidt. It's either number 8 or number 9 committing the foul for Stony Brook. The shot goes wide for Cornell as they maintain a 19-3 lead. Or Stony Brook maintains a 19-3 lead. On the near side, it's Ellie Walsh. Walsh works it behind the cage. There's Phillips. Phillips with it, looks for a pass in front, and that's taken away. Stony Brook forces the turnover, and they're off into transition. With the ball now is Raina Sabella, the freshman. So Sabella forces the turnover, and Stony Brook takes offense. We'll see if they look to score, or we'll see if they stand pat with a 16-goal advantage. As Siobhan Rafferty is fouled in the midfield. Stony Brook a perfect 14-for-14 on clear attempts so far today. Cornell also perfect on clear attempts, but they've only had 7. Mitchell with it, works it to the left. Here's Emma Scheidt. Casey Mitchell, back to Scheidt. Scheidt rounds on the defender, switches with Considine, passes it up to Sabella, over to Mitchell, and on the far side is Rafferty. Rafferty throws it into the middle, there's Considine. Considine runs to the far side, and she turns it over. Stormbrook still might force the turnover and get it back. I think Rafferty was called for a foul there. So the Big Red will take the ball over and go on offense. Stony Brook leads 19-3. And another dominant performance from this women's lacrosse squad. We saw them beat Vermont 20-2. Vermont in the 60s when it comes to national RPI. For Cornell, they're the number 23 team in the country. So very, very impressive performance by Stony Brook in this one. They have a 16-goal lead, but if they kept the pace they had in the first half, it would have been 25-30 goal. This is just Cornell's outmatched in this game. The Siebels force the turnover to the near side. Here's Patron. Patron to Haley Dillon, getting her first action today. The freshman out of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai won Long Island Championship last year, so Stony Brook has a couple freshmen from there. Rafferty with it at the point. To the far side is Considine. Considine from Rockville Center, the freshman. Casey Mitchell, a Mount Sinai grad herself. Here's Considine. Cornell forces the turnover, and they're attacking the other way. And then it might be the first failed clear for either team today, and it is. And it's not, actually. Looked like Stony Brook was going to come away with a ground ball, but a second effort from Cornell gets the ball and into transition. Cornell's looking to score. Here's Allen attacking the cage. Carolyn Allen, Cornell's leading scorer, still in the game, but she passes it out. At the point, here's Coffey. Coffey backs out. Just about 3 minutes to play here at Laval Stadium. I remind you, after this game, we'll go back to the studio for about half an hour, and then we'll come right back here to Laval Stadium, where it'll be me and it'll be Matt Mankovich on the call for Stony Brook men's lacrosse tonight. Stony Brook men's lacrosse is playing St. John's later. They're coming off a 13-7 loss to number one Albany, but it was a really good effort that the Seawolves men put against Albany. They lost all 24 faceoffs in that one and still held a 6-goal game against Albany. And Albany's beating everyone by about 12, 15 goals. Basically what Stony Brook women are doing, Albany men's doing the same thing. So for Stony Brook to go up there on the road, and it was a 10-8 game halfway through the third quarter, they really made an effort of it. Good showing from the Stony Brook men's lacrosse team. So we'll get them. That game will begin 45 minutes after the conclusion of this game. Officially, it's a 7:30 start. Right now, it's 6:45. This game will end in about 3 minutes. So Stony Brook men's lacrosse should be beginning at about 7:33. In the meantime, Emma Scheidt was called for a foul on the field. And Cornell's going to have a free position try to cut the deficit to 19-4. And they do. The Cornell Big Red goal is scored by Ida Fahrenholt, her second of the game. As Cornell's still with their starters out there, actually. Ida Fahrenholt scoring the free position try. Cuts the lead to 15. Sorry, if I can do subtraction, that would be nice. The lead is 19-4. Stony Brook up top. Under 2 minutes to play. Casey Mitchell is going to get a chance on the draw now. Mitchell played a prominent role in the Seawolves offense in her freshman and sophomore years a little bit. This year in her junior season, I don't know if something's bothering her injury-wise. She's not moving very well, but she's getting some action today. She loses the draw. Cornell takes possession and goes into the offense. Pass through the right side. Here's Leska. Back behind the cage. Now to the far side. in on defense for Stony Brook. Rachel Williams is in there. As Stony Brook forces a turnover, coming away with it is Emily Marlowe. Emily Marlowe forces the turnover for the Seawolves. First time I've called her name today, as she gets a cause turnover. The senior midfielder out of Farmingdale. There was another Farmingdale defender that Stony Brook used to have, who was all-conference, Megan Merritts. Erica Shea gets pummeled a little bit in the middle. No call is made. I think the officials are just going to swallow their whistles here. 20 seconds left to play. And what can you say about the Stony Brook women's lacrosse team as they continue to roll over opponents? I'll pump up the Nat sound. Oh, they're not even counting down. So there's 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. And we have the final horn. Stony Brook beats Cornell 19-4 here at Laval Stadium. Stony Brook women's lacrosse goes to 10-0 on the season. And even more impressive than that 10-0 record is the fact that they're beating opponents by an average of 10.2 goals per game this year. That's right. They're 10-0 with an average margin of victory of 10.2 goals. Just incredible stuff from the Seawolves team. Their next game will be on Thursday. That's a 5:30 start on the road against Hartford. Mark your calendars for that Thursday. If you tune in on AmericaEast.tv, it's a road game. We won't have the broadcast because of that. But if you tune in on AmericaEast TV, you will see probably a record getting shattered, as Courtney Murphy is 2 goals away from tying, 3 goals from breaking. Hartford's a startup program, so it should be no issue for Stony Brook to rack up the goals against Hartford and get Murphy the record. After that, this weekend, on Saturday, they'll be on the road against Binghamton. And then the next Stony Brook women's lacrosse action will be on Friday the 13th. Uh-oh. Friday, April 13th against Johns Hopkins, 7 p.m. That's going to be Kylie O'Miller bobblehead night. So come to that game if you want a bobblehead. If you're not able to come to the game, listen right here on WUSB Radio. Looking at some of the individual stats for Stony Brook in this game, I mentioned the 5 goals from Courtney Murphy. 5 goals and 2 assists, a 7-point game from Allie Kennedy, the most productive game of her career. A standout effort from Kennedy in this game. 7 points. Her 5 goals came on 5 shot attempts, so very efficient. Kyla Miller had 4 goals, 1 assist. Taranella Miller had 3 goals, 1 assist. Karen McCarthy with a goal. Sam DeSalvo with a goal and 3 assists. And the defense was stifling. Cornell only with 4 goals in the game. So in 3 of the Seawolves' 4 games at Laval Stadium this year, they have surrendered 4 or fewer goals. And looking down to field level, the men's teams are taking the field. So it's a doubleheader here in Laval Stadium in the rain. That game will start in about 40 minutes. We'll take the pregame in about 30 minutes. But for Stony Brook Lacrosse, I'm Skylar Gilbert. And what can I say? What can I say? The women's lacrosse team's just rolling again. 19-4 victory. I'll throw it back to Jim Firstland in the studio while we get set up here to bring some Seawolves men's lacrosse action in this special doubleheader broadcast on WUSB. Jim.
Thank you, Skylar Gilbert. And like Skylar did say, a second game is soon underway and more than likely an hour or so, maybe a little less than that. But Stony Brook men's lacrosse will be facing the St. John's Red Storm in just a little bit. But while that, we're saying this is now, yeah, their last game, as Skylar mentioned previously, Stony Brook has outscored their opponents by over 10 points. And now get their 10th win of the year and just continue to steamroll their opponents. The only opponents that they have won by single digits is their first game of the year against USC, their second game of the year against Stanford, the first game against USC they that was in Southern California in Los Angeles 14-10, then going to Stanford 3 days prior and winning 15-9, then again on the road against number 8 Northwestern at the time 15-10, then you have against number 13 Towson 13-8, and then ever since that 20-7, 20-2, 20-8, 16-3 twice. And one of those 16-3 wins was against another ranked team in Denver, and they beat Michigan 16-3 on the road. I mean, just what a team that this organization and university has over the last half decade, ever since Joe Spolina took over 5 seasons ago. But it's just been a monumental monster of athletes and dedicated players on this women's lacrosse team that just continue to boost their reputation after every game. Almost a 20 points on the scoreboard for the Seagulls today. It would have been their fourth time doing that. But not this year. But not today, excuse me. Yes, their next game will be on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. at Hartford, who just got rocked against... against New Hampshire. No, I'm sorry. New Hampshire, 17-0 on Saturday. So they have a long ways to go with their program starting to move in the right direction. So if you want to look at the rest of their season, jot it down or look at the website. They go at Binghamton on April 7th on Saturday. That's an early game at 11 a.m. And then finally going back home against Johns Hopkins on April 13th. Yeah, watch out Friday the 13th against Johns Hopkins at Stony Brook. Then on Sunday, April 15th against New Hampshire. April 21st and the following Saturday, 3 p.m. against UMBC. April 24th on Tuesday at 4 p.m. versus Penn State, that's also home. And then finally, their final game of the season will conclude against their rival Albany on April 28th on Saturday at 12 p.m. So that's what's going on for the Stony Brook Women's Lacrosse team, the number one team in the nation this year, and deservedly so, as they proved it last year, but Maryland just got a little extra favoritism there, being the number one team for the past decade or so, or more, as their program is one of the best, but this year Stony Brook shines. After a couple of huge losses for Maryland and North Carolina this season, and Stony Brook remains to be defeated. Back to baseball currently, the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays now tied here in the bottom of the sixth inning. And it was Jason Sucre along with Denard Span who did some damage there, as Denard Span was a pinch hitter for Rob Refsnyder, the former Yankee. And the game is tied now at 4-4 piece. Pruitt is on the mound for the Tampa Bay Rays, and Brandon Drury is currently at bat for the Yankees. He is 0-2 today with a 2-0 count and one out in the bottom of the sixth. Underway game still going on are still for the Cubs and the Reds. That should be going on in a matter of moments as this game is 15 minutes delayed. And then later on, a couple of games going on within minutes of each other. 7:07, the White Sox and the Blue Jays. Then 3 minutes after that, the Phillies and the Mets. And then we round out our normal time with the Nationals and Braves, Cardinals and Brewers, Orioles and Astros, Dodgers and D-backs, Indians and Angels, Rangers, A's, and Rockies, Padres. Those are the games today for baseball and the MLB. And so happy it's back. And you had to miss it eventually. Just so much fun that this game has to offer every single year. And already some teams are already making names for themselves. The team that I'm so excited about this year are the Milwaukee Brewers. Having a healthy Ryan Braun, Chase Anderson had a spectacular year last year pitching for Milwaukee. And then you now arguably have one of the best closers in baseball, Corey Knebel, who was in the All-Star game last year. But the Brewers went out and got Ryan Braun healthy. They went out and get two stud outfielders and Christian Yelich from those daunting Miami Marlins now. And also received Lorenzo Cain from the Kansas City Royals. So they have one of the best outfields in the MLB, arguably. But they still have a ways to go. Another team that I have my eyes set on are probably the New York Mets. In me, I root for the Yankees, but, you know, the Mets, with the pitching staff that they have, Jacob deGrom had a terrific performance against Cincinnati in his first start. He was dominant and just continued to play well. He had a healthy Noah Syndergaard. How long will that last? No question. With him pitching and him also losing some weight too. With Jacob deGrom with a new haircut, completely cut off his hair, shorter hairdo. I don't know, make him more aerodynamic, make the fastball quicker. I really don't know. But there's new fads that are going on, and so far they seem to be working. But you know what? It is early in the season. We don't know what the future holds. But baseball season is back, and we are all so excited. And if you're not excited, shame on you. But last night, I believe, probably was one of the most craziest moments in NCAA history. The most outstanding player in the national championship went to a non-starter. Yes. Dante DiVincenzo, 37 minutes. And he did not start the game. Phil Booth did start the game, only did play 20 minutes. He only had 2 points. But hold your breath as I'm about to release these numbers to you from Dante DiVincenzo, a guard who just had a spectacular game. Outstanding performance, the sophomore guard from Wilmington, Delaware. He averaged 13 points and 5 rebounds off the bench, but just had the game of his life and was more than one of the prominent players today. After having a performance like this in the championship game against the number 3-seeded Michigan Wolverines. DiVincenzo, 10 of 15 from the floor, 6 of 10 from the foul line. Okay, that's not terrific. 5 of 7 from 3, 31 points. Off the bench, Dante DiVincenzo. Athletic, 2 blocks, 3 assists, 5 rebounds. Did a little bit of everything. And with Villanova being so dominant, they did not allow a single point victory in the tournament. All of their wins were by double figures. And me, certainly, I was surprised on how they dominated the Kansas Jayhawks in the Final Four previously. With 18 threes, 13 of them coming in the first half alone, which is just utterly astonishing. Just thinking about how dominant you can be against just such another number one seed with a great point guard in Devontae Graham, another great guard in Skye Mikhailik, who more than likely should stay if he doesn't leave. LeGerald Vick, another great player. Udoka Azubuike does need to improve. He needs to develop better offense. But Malik Newman, a terrific all-around player defensively and offensively for the Jayhawks, who people are comparing to possibly be the next Kobe Bryant. I mean, they have athletes, but you look at Villanova, they just have dimensional players who can shoot the ball, rebound, pass, play defense. Every single one of their players in the starting five can do that. When you look at Eric Paschal, he's a big man who can shoot the ball, had 6 points, 8 rebounds, and a block in the championship game, but still, he was dominant.
We'll talk to Senator Kenneth about here comes at down the NCAA lacrosse quarterfinal.
He was unbelievable when it just comes down to just playing in clutch moments when you're going to be remembered. And just so many players. The face of the team is really Jalen Brunson, who more than likely, pretty sure he did win the Naismith Player of the Year. He's well-deserved, brought his team to 2 national championships. Not 1, 2 national championships in the past 3 seasons. And 28 minutes, 4 of 13 from the field. He struggled, but you know what? Dante DiVincenzo made a difference. Clearly. 79-62, Villanova picks up their second NCAA national championship since 2015 after defeating the North Carolina Tar Heels back on one of the best shots in NCAA history, or just sports history, with Chris Jenkins knocking down the buzzer from the assist from Ryan Archidiakono and beating the North Carolina Tar Heels with Raleigh Massimino at the presence, God rest his soul, as he passed away earlier this year. Who did coach for Stony Brook earlier back in the times, back when Stony Brook was called the Patriots. He was a legend on and off the court, but mostly on the court. But I just thinking about what happened 2 years ago when Villanova stunned North Carolina. In one of possibly the best games to ever hit the hardwood, nationally, collegiately. I'm lost in awe, but now we're going to make a quick transition back to baseball. The Yankees have taken the lead over the Tampa Bay Rays, 5-4, and who did the damage here? It was, let's see, RBIs. From the Warriors, he already has 3, and Wade did the damage, so it looks like it was an error that gave the Yankees a lead. So it's 5-4, bottom of the 7th, the Yankees lead over the Rays with Giancarlo Stanton at the plate, who is 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts. And he had a great opening day, but you know what, he is human, and he has struggled since, but he's got a 2-0 count on him with a 5-4 victory. 5-4, Yankees are currently leading. And Boston already hot out of the gate. They lead 1-0. And it was JD Martinez singling to center and Benintendi running in for the first run. End of the third, Red Sox lead 1-0. And it appears that we possibly do have a delay here between the Reds and the Cubs. Set time was 6:40 p.m. Eastern, and no pitch has been thrown yet, according to ESPN's website. But that is all for now. The game between Stony Brook and St. John's is going to be underway soon. That's set off for 7:30, so give or take 20 minutes, that game will start. We'll take a break, throw some PSAs in there while we are waiting on for that.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Oh, thank you.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov.
Ahoy, fellow boater.
Who are you?
I'm your safety pilot. I'll be joining you on board your ship today, matey.
You will?
Aye. Now, why aren't you wearing your life jacket?
Because I haven't launched my boat yet.
What's in the thermos? It's liquor, ain't it? Drunken boating's against the law, you know.
It's coffee.
What does the orange diamond on a buoy stand for, eh?
Danger.
Have you taken a boating safety course?
Yep.
Who played the skipper on Gilligan's Island?
Alan Hale Jr.
This message is from the National Safe Boating Council, who wants you to be safe when you're out on the water. Isn't that what you want? So take a boating safety course, wear your life jacket, and watch out for other boaters.
And remember to boot smart from the start, matey!
It's my first day to be a big brother. Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel. It's gotta be big. It's gotta be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. What do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. The important thing is spending time together. To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Ad Council.
The Circle Program is a therapeutic foster care program sponsored by the Peterson Craig Center. They seek specialized foster parents to work with children who are emotionally and or behaviorally challenged. The Circle Program provides extensive training, ongoing support, and generous reimbursement. If you live in Suffolk County and would like more information, call 920-8302 to help make a positive difference in a child's life and in your community.
Okay, let's see if we covered all the dangers your little brother might find. Gates at the top and bottom of the stairs?
Check.
All household chemicals and bug sprays stored in high-latched cupboards?
Check.
Kiwanis International has a long history of caring for kids. Working with leading safety organizations, Kiwanis has developed a home safety checklist and other brochures to help prevent injuries to children. Visit our website at servingchildren.org.
Knives, tools, and sharp objects safely put away?
Check.
Kiwanis International, serving the children of the world.
I'm Rita Moreno. Watching a sunset, reading a book, or seeing the faces of loved ones are some of life's most wonderful pleasures. Pleasures that may be lost forever to more than 6 million Americans who are losing their vision to macular degeneration, but there's hope. For the latest information on treatments and the search for cures, call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-394-8280. That's 1-800-394-8280.
Every 2 seconds, someone in America needs blood. Accident victims, cancer patients, and individuals with blood disorders and other illnesses. They may live next door to you, up the block, or across town. Yet only a small percentage of those who are eligible to give donate blood. A healthy supply comes from ordinary people, just like you and me. Your gift of blood is needed now to help save lives. It only takes about an hour of your time, and it can save up to 3 people. So make an appointment to donate at your local blood center, and donate often.
Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Many of you know firsthand or from people close to you how important childcare is for working and student parents. Stony Brook Childcare is a gem right here in the midst of our university. It's one of the small percent of childcare centers that is nationally accredited, has a superb professionally trained staff of teachers, the curriculum is child-centered and follows best practices in early education, and it's the only childcare center on Long Island that has a sliding fee scale based on family income. The center also provides supervised internship experiences for many undergraduate students. Having such a child care center right here on campus enables many faculty, staff, and students to be at work or in class each day without worrying about the well-being of their children. The center receives little financial support and needs your help. And there's an easy and fun way to help, and you could win up to $10,000. The center is holding a Cash for Kids raffle with prizes ranging from $250 to $10,000. Call the Child Care Center at 631-632-6930 and tell us how much you want to contribute. Raffle tickets have a set price, but you can split the cost of your tickets with coworkers, friends, or family. You can get all the information at 631-632-6930. Good luck, and please participate to help our unique child care center.
Paul, are you okay, honey? You look a little pale and sweaty.
Well, I feel a little pressure in the center of my chest, and I'm a bit nauseous.
Should I call an ambulance?
What? For a little indigestion? I'll be okay.
All right!